Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What about the candy floss marines on their soft planet orbited by a marshmallow moon?
Yeah. So there was two space marines legions that were wiped from Imperial history, and that was one of them.
Oh, okay.
The other ones were the bouncy house marines. So. Have you ever been to our benighted world? Its name literally means night, but we do not dwell in darkness. Hell comes to our cities and our peoples. It visits upon the earth such ravages as to make the sky black as sackcloth, and the ground spew red, molten death. It is not a hospitable world, this world. For monsters lurk in its fuliginous depths, and death is but a slip away for the careless, the unwary, or the simply ill-fortuned. It is not a populous world because much of it cannot be populated. The mountains are bleak, craggy places, their summits wreathed in poisonous flames. The deserts are many, and they are desolate, unforgiving plains of ash. Our few rivers are veins of acid and alkali, tainted by the sulfurous earth. We have no forests, save for the petrified groves that lurk in the hot shadows of our tallest peaks. Our fauna takes to the air on leathern wing or hunts the dune with tusk and claw. It is serpentine and reptilian, chitinous and saurian. But it is home, this broken land, and we defend it with our blood and breath. Woe betide any who come here seeking to put it asunder. They will find it a terrible place, a very terrible place. Lore Boys here. Hi, it's Ethan. Welcome to the internet's number one fake history podcast, as decided by us, your hosts. Like I said, I'm Ethan. I'm joined by Peter. Peter, say hi.
Hi. To your point, we probably are the number one fake history podcast. I can't imagine this is a very popular genre, and we were the first.
And Jamie.
Lore Boys canon.
Jamie, say hi.
Hi, my name's Jamie. I'm not sure when you guys are going to hear the quote this episode, but it makes me think that we're talking about cactuses today.
Okay. I was really more thinking about there's a combination of Northern Canada and Iceland, and I was just like, I lived in Northern Canada. It's not so bad.
It's someone that's home to a bunch of desolate areas that are deserts, as big and as barren, and I think it's cactuses. I think they live there, and it's home to them.
This is big barren, my sex life. Oh.
This is the cactus episode of the Lore Boys, so strap in for some thousand needles from Final Fantasy.
That's also a province in World of Warcraft.
Cactus?
Thousand needles.
Oh. Oh yeah, man. We got to go do some like mob farming in cactus today.
It's a swamp. It's a wetland.
Oh yeah.
Wetlands is a different place, Ethan.
Oh, my bad.
Also
my bad,
a province,
bad.
Yeah.
Hi everybody, this is, like I said, a podcast, sometimes funny, sometimes factual, sometimes informative, but never all three at the same time.
We talk it's very difficult to be funny and factual, honestly. it's much easier to just lie to people.
I mean, I disagree.
Unless it's our animal fact.
Yeah, that's true. Animal facts are often hilarious. So Peter, what's our animal fact of the day?
Owl's got long legs.
That's true, yeah. And it's hilarious when you look at it. Owl leg long.
You can like pick up their little like bottoms like skirts and you bring it up all the way and their little skinny legs go halfway up their body.
Speaking of inhospitable wastelands, my dad's heading up to Northern Canada in a week, and his buddy Peter, who's going up there with him, has been raising a baby owl that he found, and his name is Hoots. So they're gonna bringing him up north to teach him how to fly.
That's very cute. Yeah. Yeah, so we talk about sometimes video games, sometimes tabletop games, sometimes books like The Lord of the Rings, or epic poems like Dante's Inferno and Paradiso and Purgatorio. But we talk about made-up history, fake history. I don't know. I don't know if everyone would agree that Dante's works are as made up, but Most of the stuff that we cover is fake history.
At least some of the people in that he actually knew. So there's kernels of truth.
Yeah, there's some Christians out there who might take umbrage with me calling it all fake. But who knows? You know, the idea of angels and heaven and hell and Satan's balls being the center of the earth and all that stuff is up for debate whether or not it's fake.
I wouldn't be part of that debate. I'm pretty set.
Peter joked before we went on that this we really should call this the Christian World of Warcraft and Warhammer podcast these days, because all we ever talk about is World of Warcraft, Christianity, and Warhammer. And sure enough, I'm going to be talking more about Warhammer 40K. I promised you guys last time that I was going to talk about Space Marines a few more episodes at the very least. So this one's about the Salamanders, the Emperor's 18th Space Marine Legion during the Great Crusade and the Horus Heresy.
Okay.
If you haven't listened to our previous Space Marine or 40K episodes, you don't have to, but they will kind of enrich the experience, I guess. I'll go over the things that I need to, but not necessarily everything.
It's like salt in your food. It's not required, but it's recommended.
It's like coffee beans after they've been passed through the intestines of another animal and pooped out.
Much better.
Lemur coffee.
So take your brain that is a coffee bean and pass it through the digestive tract that is this podcast until you get to the sweet savory butt bean that is this episode specifically.
Lore boys butt beans. come on.
Okay, well, that should be our sponsor is some kind of coffee company with butt beans.
If you're a coffee company out there, an indie coffee company, and you're looking for a shitty podcast sponsor to push your butt beans, we'll support you as lore boys butt beans. Crunch at us. This sounds like $1 million in the making, honestly.
Promo code lore beans.
Yeah.
So, first founded in the 30th millennium.
What color are the salamanders first, just so I can, are they the yellow ones?
They're dark green.
Oh, okay. Blood angels are green, salamanders are green, all those fucking guys are green.
If I didn't know what the color green was, how would you describe green to me?
Between blue and red.
Okay, helpful.
Or maybe between blue and red, and then opposite that. So you flip that to the other side. Are we talking about on the light spectrum green, or are we talking on the paint spectrum green? Because they're
neither. If I had no concept of color whatsoever.
Okay, if it's the paint spectrum, then I'm going to tell you it's between blue and yellow. And if it's on the light spectrum, I'm going to say go between red and blue, so purple, and then go opposite that.
How would you describe it if I didn't have any concept of color?
Make an L with your hand and face your palm away from you, and that's left.
Oh, thanks.
And then go left. Then go left from red, I guess. I don't fucking know.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
I've been asked that question on an interview before, and I gotta say, I crushed it. How would you describe a color to a blind person? They asked me what my favorite color was, and it was red. And they're like, how would you describe that to a blind person? And I was like, oh, red is life. It's like color, it's heat, it's passion. And they were just like, damn, dude. I swear to God, I heard her whisper that. Damn, dude.
Yeah. Like, apparently the real way to do it, and I talked to a blind person in real life, and it's like that movie Rocky, the guy with the funny face, and he falls in love with a girl, and he touches her face and all that. And he drops Rocky a warm stone from, like, next to a fireplace into her hand whenever she's like, how do you know what red is? And then he puts, like, a hot stone in her hand. He's like, this is red.
Yeah, and she's like, my fucking hand, dude, that hurts like hell. God damn it. Yeah. Why did you do that to me? I'm blind, you motherfucker.
That's helpful, though. Like, you can translate into feelings and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're talking about salamanders, not about hot stones and ugly faces.
I would have someone stand on the edge of my lawn, and then I would run my lawnmower past it and just blast them with all the grass clippings and be like, that's green, bitch.
I would love to see you do that to a blind man, Ethan, and that this is just like, well, this is why he's in jail.
just like me trying to like ripcord the push mower to start, and him just being like, what are you doing? Don't worry, just hold on a second. But yes, Jamie, you're right, we're not talking about colors, we're talking about salamanders. Peter was talking about colors. I don't know why he brought it up. Probably
because for the people who likes painting,
he's paint boy and he loves paint so much. Why don't you go smell paint? You love paint so much, huh?
I got some Citadel paints here. I'll huff those. I might get brain damage. I don't know.
So for those who listen to our previous episodes, you know, first founded in the 30th millennium means founded during the Great Crusade, founded during the Horus Heresy, which is what I'd said before, but that just kind of sets the time frame to about 11,000 years ago from current Warhammer 40K, because Warhammer 40K actually takes place in the 42nd millennium. It's like the year 41 something.
Okay.
So this is Warhammer 39K. This would be 29K.
31K.
31. Oh, because there's the the offset.
Oh, no, wait, the 30th millennium, so the 30K, because I said 30th millennium, so that'd be 30K. Anyway, but that's just when they're founded, anyway, and we're going to kind of go into, like last week's episode, we're going to go into how they were founded, who their Primarch is. You guys will remember all Space Marines Legions, or the first 20, were all led by a Primarch, who was the genetic son of the Emperor, not by Bird and Bee, but by Impregnate with Gene Seed. Which is like...
Is that the Homo Superior thing? I forget where that came from. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so the Homo Superiors are the immortal... Like, Perpetuals are people who kind of just evolved to be better. So the Emperor, the God Emperor of Mankind, was born in the 8th century AD in Turkey. And he just was immortal and super big and super strong and super smart. And so as this race of natural humans started to super evolve, they got the term Homo Superior. All these Primarchs are made from the God Emperor, specifically his genetics. They implanted these babies with his genetics to become these Homo Superiors as well.
It says there's a sign above your Minecraft bed in our Minecraft server that says Homo Superior now. So you are one as well, Ethan.
When we were playing on Discord the other week, every time I try to kill you and you'd kill me with your hacking and your OP strats, I would respawn just facing the sign that said Homo Superior above my bed.
Oh, so. Lovely. Lovely. After you die, you get killed by someone who's better than you, might I say. Called a Homo Superior
in some way. I don't know.
I'll admit that you're better looking and you're better thinking and you're better gaming than me, but that's it. That's all I have.
I'll take it.
So first founded during the Great Crusade and the Horus Heresy, their homeworld is the volcanic death world known as Nocturne.
Sounds horrible.
Bonus points, old Italian, who knows what Nocturne is?
Nighttime.
Night, yeah. I did say it in the quote to you guys already. I don't know if the listeners have heard it yet, but if you have, congratulations.
It's a League of Legends character.
It is also a League of Legends character who's a spooky ghost.
We've covered enough old Italian on this show that we're all basically fluent in it. Yeah. I think we could probably just like walk up to some Ivy League university and just be like, guys, let us in. We'll fix the Earth's problems because we know a little bit of Latin.
Harvard, that's so old Italian for last year. Let's figure this out, boys.
Old Italian? Don't you mean old New Latin? Come on. Nocturne is part of what is actually a binary planetary system. So two planets kind of orbiting each other. There's big planet Nocturne, and then there's
Is the other one the daytime planet?
No. Oh, yeah, I get it now. So Nocturne is the big planet. Prometheus is basically a moon, but it's a moon so large it's kind of a planet in its own right.
Okay.
So Prometheus circling it in an erratic orbit causes the gravity to shift tremendously.
That sounds like it would fuck the continents up a hell of a lot.
Causes massive tectonic stress due to the potent tidal forces at play.
Yeah.
So...
I know a little bit about geology.
Yeah, that is what's on your business card for the Lore Boys podcast. Resident geologist.
Bit of geology.
Resident a bit of geologist. as the Unification Wars came to an end, many Astartes Legion's creations were shrouded in mystery. Like any good military operation, keeping a few details out of the public eye can only help, right? So, like many Space Marines Legions, the actual indoctrination phase of the Salamander's Legion is lost to Imperial record keepers. So we won't get into how these people were made into killing machines like we did last time when we had Leon and he turned into a superhuman and he was found by the Emperor and he was like, I'm going to train all my men up myself, blah, blah, blah. We'll get into why we don't know how the actual Space Marines, like foot soldiers, became Space Marines.
Okay.
In a little bit. The Salamanders, the Space Wolves, and the Alpha Legion are the three Space Marines factions, which have their founding like scrubbed from Imperial records. We know about the Primarch himself. We don't know about how these people were actually transformed into Space Marines, like what went into that. We know a bit. Like, usually it's impregnating young people with the gene seed and then older people with a diluted form of the gene seed or something like that to make them stronger.
That's my personal mission. I'm just trying to impregnate the young people with the gene seed and the old people with the other seed.
You got to do it.
The diluted one.
I like to do it backwards. I like to give the old people the strong one and the young people the diluted one. That's just a quirky little thing that I do. Salamander's just one of three legions of whom no knowledge exists of their training, canonically.
Okay.
What makes a Space Marines Legion? We've talked about this. We talked about Space Marines before.
First, organization. Second, trust. Yeah. Third, companionship. Fourth, listening to your superiors.
90% concentrated power of will. So far we're pretty sure it's sugar, spice, everything horrible involved in a death world, and the horrible chemical gene seed.
Okay. So Emperor Utonium was involved in some capacity.
I mean, I like to think of the of Emperor Utonium as the god emperor of mankind.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Where... Humanity, I've made breakfast. That guy's impossible to do. That voice actor.
But you sure did give it your all, huh? Here for the whole
people
world
would
to
understand.
Hear.
Yeah.
So, like I said, Nocturne is a planet orbited by a massive satellite known as Prometheus. The effect of the supermassive moon on the planet is enough to create immense tidal strain on the tectonic plates of the planet, resulting in a fractured world constantly splitting open to spill its gooey molten core onto the surface. Every 15 Terran years, so Earth years, or
that's
one...
That's another World of Warcraft thing I just had to say.
Oh,
molten
Terran.
Core.
Oh, I thought you were saying Terran, which is a StarCraft thing.
Yeah, that too. That is also, yeah. So yeah, it spills open its gooey center, its Cadbury cream egg, and what happens?
Ragnaros comes out, and...
out of the Easter candy? What?
Out of the molten core, Peter. Pay attention. Come on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Every 15 years, or one Nocturnian year, Prometheus approaches so close that it seems to tear the surface of the planet completely apart.
So you got to use a pool skimmer to push it away. Just like, oh, God damn it.
That's it.
Or just hit it with a broom to just back it up. It's like, oh, son of a bitch, moon.
These must be some tough Marines. Well, I guess they landed there. They didn't evolve there, right? Like, that'd be a tough place to evolve from nothing.
No. So, yeah. So, year 7000-something, the God Emperor of Mankind was born.
Right.
People spread out into the universe as technology advanced and space travel came possible, and we kind of... overtook the galaxy. From the year 20,000 to the year 30,000 was essentially the Dark Ages, where like horrible warp storms ravaged the solar system or the galaxy, and like a ton of communication between like human colonies was lost. So over the course of like 10,000 years, humanity kind of like spread out and then kind of reverted back to colonies on worlds. So a ton of worlds, like the world that we talked about on the last episode, and you can go back and listen to that one, and this one on Nocturne. They're basically like a class of people. If you'll remember, it was like a feudal knight system where they would like assign quests to go like kill beasts, almost like a fantasy world on that other planet, until the Primarch arrived. And then so the God Emperor waged what are called the Unification Wars, which was just him going out into the galaxy and like reunifying all of mankind.
Okay.
So,
and we're right now at the end of the Dark Age kind of thing.
So to your point, like people did, it sounds like a shitty place to raise a family, you know, the neighborhood's gone to hell, but people do it. So every 15 years, there's this kind of event where the moon gets too close. Like, well, it's every 1 year on the planet, but every 15 respective years. Where like the planet is just torn apart by the approaching moon, and then I guess the dust settles for 14 years ish, and everyone kind of like rebuilds as best they can for in 15 years it's just going to happen again kind of thing. So it's kind of like a cycle. Wow. For the people of Nocturne, this is simply known as the time of trial. Vast tidal waves rise up from the sea to devastate shorelines. Thousands of volcanoes spew ash and fire into the atmosphere, spilling magma across the landscape. The weak haze of the sun is completely blotted out, while earthquakes ripple across the world and drag down what structures the people have constructed.
15 years isn't even that long for like a generation of people to forget. It's like, who is it who's just like, no, don't worry, honey. They put the house on stilts. We can get an oceanfront view. And then the moon shows up like 8 years later to just sweep away everything on land.
I mean, are you going to live in the cold for 14 years? Because in 15 years, it's going to knock down your house again?
Yeah, no, I guess not. Yeah, like, but it still seems just like like reducing all everybody's structures to rubble every 15 years is like, I could have learned that lesson twice at this point. I'm an idiot.
Yeah. Every 15 years, Link has to run back to the clock tower to turn back time.
A bunch of Space Marines just like camping around in fucking tents. Foreman grills, just like, oh yeah, you want another sausage?
Space Marine with like a big bag of masks on his back, just like selling them to people throughout the whole catastrophe.
Exactly.
So humans aren't the only ones to endure these troubling times. Life finds a way, indeed. The native fauna of Nocturne have adapted to the hardships of the planet, even in the most inhospitable locations. One of the largest volcanic mountains on Nocturne, known creatively as Mount Deathfire, is the home is the home of the largest of the monstrous fire-resistant salamanders common to Nocturne.
Oh, so it is like the mythological like D&D salamander.
It's like
sort of thing.
So they're also known as like drakes or dragons.
Okay.
And there are drakes and dragons in this, like on this planet. If you'll remember from the quote I said, they said they take flight on leather, like life takes flight on leathern wings.
Yeah. Okay. Like bats, sort of thing.
Yeah. Or dragons. Yeah. The salamanders are also alternatively known as dragon knights. I believe they were known as the dragon knights first and then become like change their rebrand to salamander at some point.
Cool.
Yeah. So you'll each remember.
Are they the actual like Marines or are they the like dragons at this point? Because every time I Google it, I can't find a picture of the dragon. I just see the Marines.
The salamanders?
Yeah, the salamanders.
They're like actually like just giant lizards.
Okay.
The salamanders don't necessarily fly, or at least I couldn't find any record of them flying. But there are dragons that live on the planet.
Okay. Cool.
So like
that's really cool.
Giant winged lizards that breathe fire to some regard. The salamanders themselves also breathe fire, but the salamanders are the largest creatures. They grow to the largest size of most or all species on the planet, kind of thing. Although, and we'll get into a little bit later, I really like to imagine them as just regular size salamanders, you know, like whatever, 6 inches long, nose to tail.
Yeah. Like a little Zippo flame comes out of their mouth. It's like, ah!
Yeah.
Like,
oh, no! And everybody just like ducks.
Oh, the most
runs.
Fearsome animal on the planet.
A guy just like jumps into a lake of lava, like, or a lake of alkali and acid, like burns himself to death. Like,
they hide in 13-foot shoes and things like this.
So you guys remember, because you guys have impeccable memories, that each legion of Space Marines is headed by a Primarch.
Yep.
A human impregnated with the gene seed of the God Emperor to transcend traditional humanity and become powerful, charismatic, hyper-intelligent killing machines.
I'm not sure what that has to do with my impeccable memories, but go on.
You got great tits. You got great tits, James. I mean, I've always said
slap them around.
So
but
after...
they're not all necessarily raised by wolves in the forest, correct? They're not all superhuman Mowgli like the last guy?
If you'll also remember, after their creation, the Chaos Gods cast them into the warp, and they ended up on random planets.
Right.
And as we go through each Space Marine Legion, maybe we'll find that different ones end up not on Death Worlds. The two that I've given any kind of real research to so far grew up on Death Worlds.
What about the Candy Floss Marines on their soft planet orbited by a marshmallow moon?
They got there. So there was two Space Marines legions that were wiped from Imperial history, and that was one of them.
Oh, okay.
The other ones were the Bouncy House Marines. So.
The big inflatable armor.
Yeah. they got to drag the motors around with them. That just like it's a fan blowing air into the thing. They got devastated by the Xenos.
I like that they don't need the bouncy castle. They are the bouncy castle. That's fun.
Yeah.
So it really shouldn't be a surprise that one of these children ends up on Nocturne during the time of trial, specifically. So the infant Primarch Vulcan fell like a blazing comet into the home of the blacksmith Nebel. He wasn't only cast from the warp onto the planet. He was cast from the warp into low orbit over the planet, I guess.
Okay, yeah.
You guys will remember the warp operates its strongest where there's life. So the warp needs life. So it kind of makes sense that he would exit near a system. Or I guess that all of them would exit near a system, near some form of life, because it's probably where it's the strongest points for it. An ancient organization of Nocturne, known as the Promethean Cult, had conveniently prophesied a child savior falling from the stars. So Nebel, on this planet where shit is hard all the time, and he's like a gruff blacksmith who lives on his own, decides to not just like get rid of the baby that fell from the star and destroyed his roof. And it's like, no, I guess he's kind of the prophesied one that's going to save us all. So I guess I'll keep him alive and feed him. So he takes him as his adoptive son and names him Vulcan.
Okay.
Like most Primarchs, Vulcan grew quickly, reaching adulthood in just 3 short years, working in his adopted father's forge and hunting the great saurians and beasts of the planet, earning himself a reputation as a fearsome warrior.
Jamie? Dinosaur hunter.
Sorry. I was like, how do you explain that to the neighbors that your 3-year-old son's working in the forge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Nebel, you have a baby. Yeah. Oh, that's good for you. Like, smash cut, like, 3 years later, he's just, like, this bruff, like, barrel-chested man with, like, long, flowing hair. It's like, standing out, so, what? Nebel, whatever happened to your baby? When did you get an assistant? Like, no, that's him.
Vulcan has forged many swords. Can Vulcan play with the Flintstones phone now?
Yes. Well, I don't know, Vulcan. I don't know, Vulcan. Have you done your algebra homework? Vulcan hates algebra homework.
Giant child just like drawing poorly with crayons. Like, Vulcan, you need to color inside the lines. Like, punches his teacher in half.
It's like trying to fit in one of those like preschool desks. You know, the ones with the chair like attached to it or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Tiny little alligator backpack, just like. So when you say Saurians, are these kind of analogous to the lizard men of Age of Sigmar? Because I know there's like some. I know they're not connected, but I know the lizard men are also referred to as the Saurians in Warhammer Fantasy.
It's another word for Canadians.
So yeah,
they're the Saurians.
Saurians. So probably not related to the lizard men themselves. If you'll remember way back to our Necron episode, the lizard men were canonically a faction in 40K. They were just more or less wiped out, and they were,
they're the old ones or whatever, right?
Well, they were the ones that were like, they grew up beside the old ones. They're like, they were one of the oldest sentient races in the galaxy or whatever. Yeah. But I assume when he says he's hunting Saurians, it's just dinosaurs that live on the planet.
No, it's just like a kind of a recycling of a term and like a callback to fantasy, or I don't know if 40K or fantasy came first, but it's just like they share a couple of things.
Yeah, for sure. No, I mean, they share a ton of things, honestly, and like there's a lot of speculation that Sigmar from Age of Sigmar is the God Emperor, and like fantasy one comes after 40K, I think, is the standing... whatever the preeminent conspiracy theory, where like the universe, like civilization collapses, and then like Age of Sigmar takes place with them rebuilding, and the original Sigmar before he becomes the twin-tailed comet. You can go listen to our Sigmar episodes if you're more interested in learning about Sigmar, for sure, because
the Sigmar trilogy, those are some of my favorite ones.
Three episodes on it, so we have the content there for you if you want it. So like most Primarchs, I already read this. So, he's good at hunting beasts and Saurians, even at 3 years old. I guess his adoptive father was like, well, things on this planet are tough. You're three years old. Take this rifle. Don't worry. It's just a 22. So, gives him a gun, and then he takes him hunting. I guess Nebel, I don't know if he doesn't question it because he believed it was the prophecy of this child savior. So he's like, yep, makes sense. Yeah. Jesus probably grew up in only a couple years, you know?
Oh, that part of the Bible when Jesus grows up very fast.
Yeah, yeah.
And then God gives him a gun to go shoot a dog out back or whatever this guy's doing.
Old Testament is this old yeller.
Old yellerment.
Well, there's the old yeller and the new yeller, and it depends on which one you want to fucking...
And God said unto Mary, and ye shall buy him 6 pairs of shoes, for he shalt outgrow them once a week. He kills beasts, he kills Saurians, and even the Eldar slavers who visited the planet were not safe from the God Emperor's lost child.
The Eldar are involved as well.
So we've done an episode on the Eldar.
Yeah.
These Eldar are referred to as Dusk Wraiths on Nocturne. They are specifically Dark Eldar, which I don't believe we actually covered in our Eldar episode. We just talked about the Eldar creation myth and kind of the creation of the Eldar. So I don't think we ever got to the schism that led to the Dark Eldar. Or we might have right at the end, but there was a ritual to Slaanesh. Or there was like a hedonistic orgy planet, and they conducted a ritual to Slaanesh, and they all became worshippers of chaos. And I'm Lore Boys canon, not actual 40K canon. I'm pretty sure that's the creation, or that leads to the creation of the Dark Eldar. Either way, Dark Eldar are Eldar characters, but evil.
They're fuck children.
Yeah. And, I mean, aren't we all
children technically? Yeah, we are. Thank you, Ethan.
Not Vulcan, though, because he came from a test tube.
Promethean cultists got really fucking lucky.
Yeah, no kidding. I like to think that it was like some cultist and is like back against the wall. He was like about to get voted out of office. He was like, no, you can't vote me out, because when the child savior descends from the sky, he's only going to want to talk to me. And everyone was like, nah, you're fucking out of here, buddy. And then 3 days later, like a priest just like sitting in his office, like, da-ba-da, gets a phone call, like, son of a bitch, how the fuck did he know? Like, slams the phone down, like, he gets up to go, like, fucking write a letter or something. So, during Vulcan's 4th year, so he's just starting JK, his town was attacked by these Dark Eldar, who are on a mission to capture slaves. This, for the people of Nocturne, was not a new occurrence, and when the Xenos arrived, the townspeople hid. I like to assume that the Xenos attacked, like, every 15 years to come get slaves, you know what I mean? Like, offset with the destruction of the planet, like, right when life starts to go back to normal, it's just like, oh, no, now slavers arrive, and they steal some of your children, you know?
Yeah, they'd probably have to time it to... the easiest point would be to just be right after the continents collapse into an ocean of lava, because when everybody's rebuilding, they don't have a whole lot of shit to hide under, so it's just like, well, we can time it with when the moon gets out of the postal code, and we can just go and grab people while they're busy, and no one will even notice. They're way too busy with preoccupied with their legs being boiled off in lakes of acid.
So I like to think that that's Lore Boys canon. That's totally what happens.
I wonder if you could like generate power on a large scale if you had a moon that was constantly just like not applying pressure, then applying pressure. Like you could just have big old pistons or something like that.
We do it on Earth because we do it with the tides. You have tidal dams. Yeah. That just like draw power as the moon comes in. It like sucks all this water out or in, and then as it drains back out, it turns the turbines.
I have a dental dam, not a tidal dam, but
so you don't get impregnated by the Emperor's gene seed.
Yes, of course.
Good.
There's something regarding the moon that's relevant to joke for a dental dam, I think.
So Vulcan, having been injected with piss and vinegar as a fetus, refused to hide. Armed with a pair of blacksmith's hammers, he rolled a 20 on charisma and rallied the townspeople to drive back the invaders, personally killing 100 Dark Elder warriors. So he's like, he like shows up as Babby, crashes through Father's hut. For 3 years, he's just like working in the forge like any good 3-year-old would. And then on year 4, a bunch of slavers show up, and Nabelle's like, well, time to go hide under my desk and hope that they don't find me. And then he's like, fuck that, dude. We got hammers. We could just kill them with hammers. Why don't we...
Have you tried this?
Have you tried killing them with hammers? And Bell's like, well, I don't... Why would hammers kill something? He's like, have you ever Have you ever hit something with a hammer before?
They didn't have the sword.
Not a weapon.
If only they could see the front cover of their own book, of Warhammer. You know?
No.
I wonder what the front cover of our own books would be if we could see it.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We've already discussed this, and it's Warhammer. So then
Tiny Peter walking into a giant Ethan's mouth.
Yeah. It's what the people want. So he goes and he drives back these Eldar slavers. He's like, fuck you. You're not taking me alive. As word of the battle spread, leaders of the Nocturnian settlements would pay homage to Vulcan and swear to crush their enemies to something, something, hear the lamentations of their women. So the people of the planet, he kind of rallies the people of the planet and is like, yeah, you know, like if you just fight and like put up a fight, they probably won't just like come take us, you know, like it's really easy when like every time they come to visit, we're just like, only take those of us who are bad at hide and seek, you know, then it's really easy for them to like make off with some people. But if we just like fight back a bit, even just a little bit, it's probably like not worth their time, really.
They've gotten so used to us being useless, they just show up unarmed. Honestly, it was so easy. I killed 100 of them.
Yeah, that's it. I killed 15 before any of the other ones would even believe that one of us was fighting back. It was very easy.
Their big fishnets are barely attached to the bottom of their spacecraft that they've been using to scoop up people off the streets.
Plus, they turned their backs and started counting to 100 as soon as they arrived.
Gave me a lot of time to just like get in there, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And honestly, you guys are terrible at hiding. Like, that street lamp, that doesn't hide you, okay? You can't just put your hands over your face and expect that other people can't see you just because you can't see them.
Yep. In all fairness, for the people on this planet, all of their good hiding spots gets destroyed every 15 years. Right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Right.
Yeah. So,
come on.
It's like trying to play Fortnite when they change the map every game. It's impossible to do.
Dude, we're so relevant, man.
Hell yeah, that was cool.
Yeah,
here I am talking about Warhammer 40K. Staying relevant, baby. relevant with the Zoomers, you know what I mean? So Vulcan was transformed in battle against the Dark Eldar, becoming the Fireborn, an undefeated warrior whose superhuman strength had torn the slave barges from the sky and devastated the Xenos in droves, whose granite-like flesh had scorned the enemy's poisoned blades unaffected, and ultimately drove the Dark Eldar from Nocturne.
That's awesome.
With the Dark Eldar defeated at the hands of the Primarch, they decided to do what any of us would do. They're throwing a kegger. They're going to celebrate, okay?
Hell yeah.
A tournament of various challenges, including tests of strength and craftsmanship, was held. The podiums erected and the medals minted. The opening ceremony was kicked off. But what do we all hate at a good old kegger? Party crashers.
Party pal. Yeah.
Butt chuggers. They always use the same tube that I'm going to do my keg stand with.
Yeah.
Fricker.
Fricker, dude. totally not fair. They don't even do it before I get a chance.
Yeah.
So they get a party crasher. A stranger shows up. A human. Clearly otherworldly. Pale skin.
Owen Wilson?
Yeah.
For wedding crash.
It's actually surprisingly Vince Vaughn, not Owen Wilson.
Oh,
so
I guess this is really?
I think this is the spinoff when they were going to do an episode focusing on Jeremy. This was going to be his movie, you know what I mean? As opposed to Owen Wilson's character.
Wow.
So pale skin, this stranger, unlike the burnished skin of the people who live there, strange clothes made of material unfamiliar to the Nocturnians, not even discovered on Nocturne yet.
A jean jacket.
I was going to say probably just like a cotton t-shirt. You can't grow any fucking plants when everything is lakes of acid.
Yeah.
Just wearing a Hawaiian shirt, just like, hey guys.
Everyone's just wearing like breastplates and like chainmail, like as like a casual shirt. They have like blazers made of chainmail.
Well, it's a party though, so one of them have their metal collars popped.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a
sheet metal tie, but they have it wrapped around the top of their head instead of around their necks.
It's like a metal board around a guy's forehead.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it like makes that noise whenever they walk. So the stranger had a request. He's like, I really picture this like a National Lampoon movie, you know, where it's just like party shows up, like record scratch, like, oh, the douchebag rich guy is here. He's like,
Oh, yeah.
I only got one request before you kick off your little opening ceremonies. I be allowed to compete. And everyone's like, oh, shit, dude. Whoa. He claimed that he could best any man of Nocturne. And the Nocturians laughed at him as a result. Why wouldn't you laugh? You guys got Vulcan, who, yeah, after all, could best him.
I mean, the planet's motto was really just inviting this because they were just like, how many men do you think it would take to fight a 5-year-old? And like, generally speaking, that's like a joke. It's like, I could fight a lot of 5-year-olds.
This was one of those, like, is a hot dog a sandwich questions, like debate starter questions.
Are you tougher than a genetically altered 5-year-old? Now on CBC.
But this was one of those questions that came up in my work chat for a while, and somebody was like, do you think you could fight 6 5-year-olds? I was like, yeah, dude, absolutely. I would destroy 6 5. And he was like, no, dude, I think it'd actually be harder than you think. I was like, I don't think it would, man. Like, one punch drops them for sure. It's like, yeah, but they swarm you all at the same time. I was like, I don't care. I don't know.
I totally agree. Like, have you ever interacted? Like, my niece right now is like 6 or 7. And yeah, like, dude, when we play, she's still like, her muscles can barely move her limbs.
Yeah.
Like, an adult man is so much stronger than a child.
We could beat the shit out of children, guys.
Yeah. I told him, I was like, I think I could beat a near infinite number of children, of like 5-year-old children. Like, I think I could clear 100. No problem.
That's not near infinite. Okay. Like, how many?
How
many numbers are bigger than 100, Jamie?
So, like, yeah, in infinite, like, with time to rest, I could beat 100 every day for the rest of my life. No problem. like until
supplier for that.
Until I tire. what I meant by near infinite is until I tire to the point where I can no longer throw a punch, I think I could beat a 5-year-old. No matter how many other 5-year-olds are around me.
Yeah, I think we all agree, dude. I'm not sure what we're trying to prove here.
I thought this was a huge debate with a guy I work with and some other people in a chat, and I wasn't sure if you guys might be on his side or my side, but I'm glad I'm validating you.
Would you rather beat 500-year-olds or 105-year-olds?
Oh my god, that is a tough one. Because the 500-year-olds you might kill. One punch could kill a 100-year-old. So I think I would take one for the team, and I think I would beat up 105-year-olds.
Yeah, like, I find it more, in my head, my reaction was like, it is more morally reprehensible to beat the shit out of 5 old people than 100 young people.
Is it, though? They're both pretty fucked up.
I don't know.
Because now, like, the 105-year-olds, you're scarring 100 people for the rest of their life, potentially.
Not necessarily. Not if they just get knocked out once.
Potentially.
And if I live to 100, Ethan, you have permission to punch me straight in the jaw.
Hell yeah, dude.
He's going to be 100 too. He's older than you are.
The good news for you is that I'm going to be 100. And So as soon as I start getting old, I'm going to start going for knuckle replacement surgery. I'm going to like get on that list for knuckle replacement surgery so they give me some fucking titanium knuckles in preparation for this fucking punch.
Ethan, you can only get new knuckles or get your heart replaced. Knuckles.
Give me the knuckles. Give me the knuckles. Jamie dies at 99 and a half years old, that fucking son of a bitch.
Ethan's open casket, just like withered old man, giant hands.
So why we talk about this? Stranger shows up, Vulcan defeats the Dark Eldar invading his planet.
Yeah.
Stranger shows up and says, I challenge your strongest 4-year-old to mortal combat. And they're like, well, that's a little bit rough. How about you just compete in our little tournament? And he's like, okay, I challenge your strongest 4-year-old to this tournament of yours. So they're like, okay, sure. With his own self-assured smirk, Vulcan's like, yeah, we'll let him in, you know. The stranger, with a coy smile, was like, well, whoever loses maybe has to swear their eternal loyalty and obedience to the victor. I think, which we all did as children, right? Like, you lose, you got to serve me forever. So I like to think that this visitor is a child as well. And it's just like, yeah, you know what? Well, if you do it, you have to be my servant forever. And you have to, like, get me breakfast and everything. Yeah. And Vulcan's just like, yeah, whatever. I don't even care.
It's like the short form is keepsies. You just play for keepsies where make someone your indentured servant.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the stranger didn't say no takesies, backsies, though. So
Technically, so his father or his stepdad can technically try and fight to get his child out of indentured servitude.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
The law of takesies backsies, I see.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's not legally binding unless you say no takesies backsies. So the tournament, lasting for 8 Nocturnian days, during it, the people of Nocturne were treated to the spectacle of 2 godlike beings competing against one another, utterly astonishing the mere mortals there with their superhuman prowess.
It's a party, right? So it's like flip cup, then it was
quarters.
Quarters. There's the butt chug. There is the
beer pong.
But somebody fucked up the scheduling. They did the butt chugging followed by the keg stands. So they were also upset here. Yeah,
aggressively hitting on women and not taking no is like a direct no.
Yeah.
For a 3-year-old, that's fucked up.
The tournament lasts for 8 days, and it turns out that this guy is pretty impressive in his own right. He goes toe to toe with Vulcan.
Tie dye shirt wearing motherfucker is another Primarch.
Very well could be. I guess we'll find out who it is. Many of the contests had to be declared a draw. So the flip cup was a draw. Beer pong, it just went on for too long. It had to be declared a draw simply because the guy running the stopwatch at the finish line was too fucking mortal to even see them see who crossed first. You know what I mean? Like, these people are so superhuman that they run so fast that the guy at the end was like, I honestly don't know who won.
I didn't start yet.
Go, but before he can even click the top of the stopwatch, the little ribbon for the finish line has just evaporated.
Yeah. It's just like one piece just like flaps him, like slaps him in the face, just like very gently. You know what I mean? He's like, there was one competition, the keg lift. It was actually the anvil lift, but we'll say Loreboy's cannon. It was the keg lift.
Sick.
It ended when both lifted the anvil above their heads and held it for a full day and a half with no sign of tiring. And if I am a spectator watching two superhuman beings like pop off against each other in contests of will, watching them stand there with anvils lifted over their head for a day and a half sounds like the most boring fucking thing I could possibly imagine.
Survivor did it, and they made it. You just gotta boil it down. You just gotta put the highlights.
You need those CBS edits. I got you.
It wasn't an anvil, but it was like, I don't know, whatever they got, a coconut or whatever they got out there.
Yeah.
the coconut, the island's answer to the anvil. So by the end of day 8, the contestants were tied. However many contests, one of them actually won, the other one won another. You know what I mean? So one would win one, the other one would another, and then they had a bunch of draws as well. So to break the tie, the elders of Nocturne panic-picked a final challenge: salamander hunting. Both contestants were given 36 hours to forge a weapon and use that weapon to hunt down and slay one of Nocturne's reptilian salamanders.
Okay. All right. Blacksmith boys got Ned.
Yeah, put down the anvil. Now make a weapon.
Yeah.
It's part of the race. Yeah.
That's it. And somebody was like, somebody was like, okay, Vulcan, go make a weapon now. Here's a hammer that you can use with your anvil. And he just like looked at the hammer. He's like, yeah, I'm good.
I'm done.
Yeah. of course, just going out and slaying a reptile probably would have ended up in a tie. So they say whoever brings back the biggest salamander wins. Okay.
Okay. That's a good way to guarantee there's no tie, because there's no way they can find 2 perfectly equal sized salamanders.
Dude, the 5-year-old just has to fuck a salamander, then it would have a baby with an enriched genes, and it would get twice as big as the other ones in 3 days.
Yeah.
And then, easy.
Although that's why they only gave him a day and a half.
It's a pretty intense harebrained scheme right there.
Vulcan just like going to his coach, don't worry coach, I got this, I'm gonna fuck a salamander. Vulcan, what are you okay, take the anvil, start making a weapon. No, I'm not gonna need it, I'm gonna fuck a salamander.
I got some rubbers in my wallet, don't worry.
Okay, if you're gonna fuck the you can't use condoms, okay? Like, just
that's true. Excuse me.
Look, I don't know if you realize this, Vulcan, but you swore fealty to him for all time if you lose. I think you should take this a little bit more seriously than saying you're going to go and fuck a salamander.
I'll fuck the first one with the condom, the second one without a condom.
Okay, yeah.
Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going to work on a weapon for you, okay? You do whatever the fuck you're going to do. When one tries to bite your dick off, you'll have a hammer, okay? Jesus Christ. So both contestants spent a full 24 hours forging their weapon, which seems like a significant amount of the time that you were allotted. And as the day closed, they emerged. Vulcan had forged himself a war hammer, like the title of the game.
And then he winks at the camera.
he didn't wink, but he's like, he like walked out like a real C-list actor. And then the elders were like, what did you make? And he's like, I made a war hammer. And then just looked directly at the camera.
Yeah.
and like a real pregnant pause there, you know?
Yeah.
He'd forged himself a warhammer, while the stranger had formed himself a keen-edged sword.
Ugh. We don't play keen-edged sword 40K. This guy's an idiot. Yeah. He clearly doesn't know branding.
This guy clearly doesn't know what's actually going to win the contest here. Hmm? So both made beelines for Mount Deathfire, where the locals knew the largest of the fire drakes or salamanders lived. Vulcan was the first to find one and decapitated it with a single blow from his hammer.
Holy shit, they're like a golf swing?
Two things. I love to picture, or I love to imagine him realizing that he, like, made his salamander so much shorter by destroying the head so completely.
Oh.
And also, I love to picture these as just, like, again, regular-sized salamanders. And just, like, they're just, like, on their hands and knees, like, turning over rocks. And he just, like, turns over rocks, smashes with a hammer, and then he looks to see if he got one, you know? And then finally he gets one, and it's, like, it's pretty big, but it's, like, 9 inches long without the head, you know?
Yeah, so now he's going to lose because of this technicality, or else they wouldn't even have mentioned that he decapitated, right? Well,
So I love the idea of, like, them both at the end and standing there like fishermen, like, who just caught fish and showing how long they are, and, like, the stranger's just, like, slightly longer because the head extends a bit further because he didn't, like, destroy, like, completely evaporate the head of it.
You'd have the head, like, just the sludge left over in a Ziploc, just, like, yeah, in his other hand.
In a bag next to it.
Dude. You need, like, a little bow and arrow where you use just, like, a needle as the arrow or something. That would be perfect.
Or some sort of keen-edged sword that you could just drain the innards of it.
Yeah, I don't know what a keen-edged sword is. I had to Google it, and apparently it's a song in the Banner Saga. With a keen-edged sword.
I mean, with a keen-edged sword. Banner Saga is great. Just means, like, sharp or very, like, refined and clean.
A sharp sword, more than anything.
That seems more likely to decapitate than a blunt hammer, but... I'm not going to write the story.
So you know he did some damage with this hammer.
Yeah.
So he's returning from his kill. While he was doing that, however, the temperamental volcano of Mount Deathfire decides to erupt. Nearly thrown from a cliff, Vulcan was able to get a handhold with one hand while clutching to his prize with the other. So he's, like, dangling above a ravine of lava now. One hand on the cliff, other hand on the salamander. Unable to do a one-handed pull-up while holding on to the salamander, all Vulcan could do was stubbornly hold on above the lava-filled ravine while his grip slowly weakened.
This seems like a weird limitation for a demigod, where can he not just, like, pull himself up with his one super beefy arm and then, like, latch onto the edge of the cliff with his teeth and then like, throw the salamander corpse up and use that? Yeah.
Well, he cut off the tips of his fingers in an anvil accident when he was only 2 years old.
Yeah.
He had real human fingers on the end, so he couldn't do it. Yeah.
He was 1 year old, and Nabel was, like, an absentee father because he drank a lot. And, like, even Nabel knew you only give a forge and a hammer to a 2 year old, never to a 1 year old. They're too young at that point to understand the dangers of it. So, it just fell into his hands. Yeah. No, but so I think this is where the idea. This is why it never became Loreboy's canon, that these are really small salamanders. I just love the idea of it, because I think it is like a 100-foot long lizard, you know what I mean, that he's, like, dragging behind him. Like, it's something insanely heavy, and he was just, like, dragging it with him.
Much prefer the idea where he's oh, god damn it, I need to drop a little bit of weight, and he's holding, like, a 4-inch long decapitated salamander.
Like
2 fingers.
Exactly, like 2 grams of weight. It's on, and he just can't do the one-handed pull-up. Whereas, like, if he dropped it, he could just do the one-handed pull-up, like, straight to his feet. Like, just like, right up.
He goes down, he, like, chews one button off of his collar and just spits it out. He's like, not enough weight.
He chews the second button and he's fine. He can pull himself up the rest of the way.
Dude, I actually was picturing a small salamander just because I was so enraptured in her own canon. That's good.
It would have been Lorvoy's canon if it wasn't for this one part of the story where it's like now he's dangling and it doesn't make sense anymore.
Right, we don't know what gravity's like on this planet. They could be very heavy and small.
They're just super
dense.
The
moon's underneath them. The moon's underneath them at this point. It's pulling down.
He's hanging. He's hanging by a thread, hanging by his one finger. There's a caterpillar crawling across his fingers, making him laugh, tickling his finger.
Classic volcano classic volcano caterpillars.
it was like this that the stranger found him, carrying his own salamander, which was larger than Vulcan's anyway. But again, I think Loreboy's canon, it was only longer because Vulcan destroyed the head. That's official Loreboy's canon. However big they are in your own internal head canon, the stranger's was only bigger because the head was still intact.
He's got it in like a breast pocket. It's just like poking out. It's like, oh, see?
Dude, when you say the head canon, I just pictured all of our listeners, those little guys from Mega Man that have the things they shoot out of the cannon. They actually have head cannons.
Good for them, eh?
Yeah. I forgot what they're called.
In their head cannon, Mega Man's the bad guy.
Yep. They also have bullets.
Also bullets in their head cannon. Or cannonballs, technically. So the stranger finds Vulcan like this, hanging by a thread, slowly tiring and about to fall into some lava. He takes his salamander, throws it into the lava, and uses it as kind of a bridge or stepping stone to cross the channel. Salamanders are fire resistant, obviously.
Okay.
Just like in real life, so it doesn't just burn up in the lava. And he goes to Vulcan's aid. He saves him. He pulls him up. When they returned, Vulcan was quickly declared the winner because even though he was saved by the stranger who threw away his own salamander, he's like, well, I'm keeping mine. The stranger had thrown away his, so everyone gets back. They're like, this fucking stranger didn't even catch a salamander. Look at the size of the one that Vulcan's got. That's a good 5 inches right there, baby.
No head.
No head, sure. That'd be a solid 6 inches with a head. Come on.
That's what I keep telling people.
Bad circumcision, huh?
I have an idea for a sketch, and it's just someone who there's things that are obviously smaller than 6 inches, but he always insists that they're 6 inches. Just some internal math that just will not compute if that is not 6 inches.
can you pass me that? Can you pass me that screw? The 3 inch one. Oh, you mean the 6 inch one? What? The deck screws, dude.
I've seen 6 inches, and that's 6 inches.
Yeah, that's easy. I think that might be a bit more, honestly. I think that's pretty long, honestly. I don't know, yeah. Wow, the label on the box is like, it must be a... Oh, this is probably an 8, but it like rubbed off. Like, it was probably an 8 once.
Did you leave this measuring tape under the heater in the car? It's throwing... It's showing 3 inches. This is obviously 6.
The pay lines on this are definitely wrong. Are these American inches though, or are these like some other country's inches? Are these metric inches?
EU, dude. Fucking EU. This is not right.
Yeah, no, not right. Yeah. Oh yeah. Socialists. They're socialists, man, I tell you. In socialist Europe, everybody gets 6 inches.
Yeah.
So they return from the salamander hunt. At least half of them victorious. Everybody goes nuts. Everybody goes bananas. They're like, "Woo, yeah, Delta Kappa Phi! He fucking caught the salamander. This other fucking Joe Bro didn't get anything, dude." The Primarch Vulcan silences the crowd, however, to say that any man who valued life over pride was worthy of his service, and swore fealty to the Emperor of Mankind. So, the big Scooby-Doo reveal is it's the God Emperor the whole time.
Oh, shit. That was gonna be Diablo.
What's that?
The Stranger Diablo.
Oh, it's not the Stranger from Diablo. No.
Oh, okay.
It's not the Lord of Terror Diablo.
Frick. Okay. Mr. Johansson, the lighthouse keeper. He's like, I was a salamander hunter the whole time. So it's his dad?
It's his dad. This whole time, it was his dad. Vulcans, he's like, swear fealty to me. Vulcan does. His only reservation upon entering the Emperor's service is that departing Nocturne, that he would not leave its people undefended. The Emperor's like, yeah, well, like, sure, you got people that you love and care about and have grown up with here. Some people that you would call father figures. You go, I'm your father. But what about like the rest of my my nation, dude? Like, what about the rest of the galaxy that I care about? Don't you think that you should care about them too?
Where were you 3 years ago when I started on the anvil, Dad?
Yeah, yeah. yeah, so he's like, it shows that his concern is with his people and he doesn't want to leave them completely undefended. So like I said, we're not sure what happened on Nocturne to create the Space Marines of the Salamanders Legion. But we know that the people there become Salamander Space Marines in some regard. Their base is
their base is
set up on Prometheus, so on the orbiting planet.
Yeah.
And they're one of the only Space Marines legions that like grow up around like family or cousins or, you know, like neighborhood community and all this stuff.
The only emotionally stable killing machines in 40K canon, basically.
Exactly. So the Emperor knew that the Terror of Darkness and the Feasting of Alien Horrors, uncounted as Noxus had, and that Nocturne itself, as the homeworld of a Primarch, would be forever secured by his sons, the 18th Legion, which bore his blood. So he's like, don't worry, dude, we're going to make some kids for you, like I made kids for me, and your world's going to be good by them, kind of thing. So Vulcan doesn't take over the 18th right away. He's one of the only Primarchs to have actually, he actually travels around with the Emperor for a time and is like tutor to the Emperor for like a good however many centuries, millennia, it's unclear, but he travels around with them and he only returns to the 18th Legion in their time of greatest need. There's a battle which we might talk about when we talk about orcs, but basically there's their backs are against the wall against some a fearsome wah of orcs that's invading their planet or some other planet. So what makes his legion so special is that they're made on Nocturne. They're born in a community. They're born in a neighborhood, a sense of family, all this stuff. So they're canonically the legion that cares the most about civilian casualties. They believe that one of their most important duties is to protect the lives of the Emperor of Mankind's innocent subjects wherever and whenever possible. Which, to contrast, the other Space Marines don't fucking care about so much. It's all about killing Xenos, baby, at any cost.
Yeah. Do you imagine being orcs and going into that planet and all you want to do is fight? You don't think, you just want to zug and fight. And like those and then like those guys know their way around that planet, and then the eclipse year happens or whatever, the year that all the natural disasters happen. They know which coasts to avoid, they know which volcanoes to explode. Yeah. Just can like retreat while these orcs advance into their own like natural disasters.
It's literally the US invading Vietnam. Like just getting their asses handed to them by a bunch of farmers. And that's, I think, a good place to stop talking about the Salamanders. There's definitely more, and if you want more, there's a ton of resources on Warhammer 40K Salamanders that you can look up. Maybe we'll do a follow-up episode someday when we revisit this. Like I said, there's 20 original legions, excluding two who are completely redacted from history, the Cotton Candy and Bouncy House Space Marines. I don't think I'll get through all 20 in one shot. Maybe I'll get through all 20 someday, because they break down into about 1,000 different chapters after a certain amount of time. So when you actually play them in 40K, you're playing one of the chapters, not one of the legions. And the chapters are max 100 Space Marines at a time. A lot of ground to cover. If you like the Warhammer episodes, please do let me know. Somebody requested that we cover orcs. I'm not sure if I'm going to keep on with the Space Marines or jump to orcs for a bit and then jump back to Space Marines. I'm not sure if I'm ever going to do that Elspeth episode for Magic the Gathering that I promised you guys. So please, 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 if you guys like what you hear, you want to hear more of it, you want to give us suggestions, join the Discord. Go to loreboys.com/about. And you'll be able to find all our contact info and all our informations, where you can find our Discord links. And you can find me on Twitter at EthanTheDeadMan, or you can find Loreboys at Loreboys. Also, super great ways to suggest or recommend or ask for specific topics. Peter, if somebody's looking for you specifically, where might they find you?
If you want to be a part of my tightly knit small town planetary community of super soldiers, and you can apply for the Gene Seed at Pete O'Donohue on Twitter and at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram.
And yeah, Jamie? If you want to find me, the Discord is the best place to find me. That's where we all hang out. Like we said, it's in loreboys.com/about. We've got three new people in this week, and people just keep pouring in. We got Coyote, we got Dalton, who finally made it in, one of our emailers. Also, if you'd like to send us an email, it's at loreboyspodcast@gmail.com, right?
Yep, or contact at loreboys.com.
Yeah, so those are the best ways to do it. So send us an email, we'll read it on the air. You can say whatever you like, and with written reason, we'll say it. So,
yeah. Leave reviews as well. You can just leave the stars, and it doesn't matter. It'll give us a nice little boost, but if you want to leave us a review, we'll read that too.
Yeah, so that's I wanted to jump into that. Just to give all our listeners who got us here, who brought us here, who support us, who love us, just as we love you guys, we did get approached for a sponsorship deal. It was our first one recently. We thought it was a really cool, really exciting opportunity, but we also thought that it wasn't the best fit for us right now. We want to keep growing the show without having to rely on monetary donations or sponsorship or anything like that. Like, we really want this to be the purest form of art for you. None of us need it right now, so it's not the end of the world for us. But the biggest thing that you can do for the show is not to support us financially, but just to tell your friends to leave us reviews everywhere and anywhere you can. If you want to help out the show, that's really the best way to do it. Leave an iTunes review. It super helps the Google robots find us whenever people say, like, dumb, stupid, fuckboy history, fake history podcast. That's the best way to get our podcast up to the top of that Google search, you know what I mean? So please, if you like the show, tell your friends who you think might like it. I know it's sometimes an awkward thing to recommend a podcast to people that you're not sure will like it, so I won't ask you to do that, but anybody that you think will like it, we'd appreciate it if you tell them, and we'd appreciate it if you leave us a review. Of course, if you're frivolous with your money and you really, really want to spend it, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys, that you can support us financially. And then we also have the alternative, Loreboys Prime, which we've offered from day one. We often don't even charge you guys any money to become a subscriber on Loreboys Prime. And this week is no exception to that part of the rule, I guess. We are not asking for your money. We're asking for your genetic information. I won't say why. We just need a seed, some sort of genetic seed. But
like your hair.
Hair's fine. Saliva swab is fine. Stool sample, urine sample, piece of your spleen. No, not your spleen. Sorry, your liver, because your liver can grow itself back. So just like
waste samples, mark those clearly on the box though, because we like to open boxes upside down at Loreboys HQ. And
upside down above our heads.
I would just rip the tape off of my teeth and open it upside down. Exactly.
I think that's pretty standard. But of course, we're not asking for your genetic samples for your 23andMe. I mean, honestly, you guys give it to ancestry.com. Why not fucking give it to us? Like, who cares?
Yeah, guys. What we should do though is we should take a go, like, you know, the thing you can get your dog tested to see what breed it is.
Yeah.
And then get ancestry.ca. So both of those things require a swab. What if we swapped them? What if I send my dog's thing to Ancestry and then I send my stuff to the dog swab place? What kind of dog will I be?
Yeah.
Where will my dog have been from in Europe? We'll find out.
Jamie and I have discussed this a lot, but most people in my life agree that I'd be a golden retriever. So
yes.
I feel confident knowing who I am already. Of course, we don't ask for your genetic samples for free. Like, Ancestry.com and 23andMe, they charge you guys for that, okay? We're going to give you something. That's right. Loreboys butt beans. We've been eating a lot of coffee, and we've been pooping out a lot of fully intact beans. If you want the finest roast from coast to coast, that from the host who offers the most, then you want Loreboys butt beans, okay? So make sure to send us your spit in a jar, and we'll give you back a poopy coffee bean.
Yeah. It's kind of great because it does amp us up too. Like, if you eat half a bag of coffee beans, you get a little bit of that going in your stomach.
It peps you up to write a podcast. I'll tell you that much.
So we can share that buzz together, you and I, listener.
Yeah, exactly. It's really, when you think about it, it's the same buzz that we're sharing. Yep. Like, we're linked through time and space. That's really what the warp is from Warhammer 40K.
Eating coffee beans?
Yeah, both two people sharing the same caffeine buzz at the same time.
Right, yeah, okay.
And that's why it only exists where life exists. But I think that would constitute and Toot. Lore Boys.
Lore Boys.
Lore Boys.
Tooting out coffee beans. My name's Ethan. Letter that starts with Q is Q. Jamie, what's a number that starts with 3?
A number that starts with 3 is 41,000. My name's James. Now, how about you, Peter? Do you know any numbers?
I know a few numbers. My name is Peter. I could say a few numbers. Maybe 2 or 3 numbers, although that is 2 numbers, so I think that's probably it.
But then you said 2 again, so is that 3 numbers now?
Well, no. Repeat. I might be an idiot, but repeating the same word twice does not count as 3 things.
No, but there's 3 different 2s, T-W-O, T-O-O, and T-O. So that's 3 three numbers, right?
That's true. I didn't realize it.
Two.
1, 2.
It's okay.
So my name's Ethan. Right. I'm hosting this episode, so I feel like I shouldn't be quieter than both of you. So that's why we're doing another sound check.
Hey, my name's James, and I'm over here, and you got to try my Pepper Jack Monterey Jack cheese.
My name is Peter, and I'll grab a couple of my pills, and I'll get in on that Jamie's old cheese sale. Oh, yeah. I think that's a good one. I'm into it.
I definitely need some pills or drugs to eat Jamie's cheese.
Monterey, pepperbacks. Got to do your pepperback pizza.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.